Dear friends in Jesus Christ, what is proper thanksgiving? I think the answer is here. Proper thanksgiving is giving thanks to the Almighty God. As I look out and see you tonight, I'm so glad that each one of you are here. I think this is a proper way to begin the Thanksgiving holiday, is by gathering in the special presence of God to make a point of giving thanks to God. We don't find that so common in our nation today, but yet here we are setting the example. May God lead others to follow us in giving thanks to our great God. I want to jump back about 500 years now, go back to Martin Luther around the year 1529 as he was writing this small catechism. When he began to explain the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," this is how he began to explain. He wrote, "God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people, but we pray in this petition that he would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving." Think about that. God is giving everything to everyone, but Dr. Luther was saying, may we realize where all that is coming from, and then upon realizing it, may we give thanks to our great God. Well, think about the world in which we live. There are 8.1 billion people in the world. That's a lot of people. What about in the United States? There are 334 million in the United States. And let's keep in mind that of all those different people, each one of them is living and eating. How does that happen? All those people, and they are living and they are eating. How is that possible? Well, they are living because of the Almighty God. He gave them the gift of life, and then they are eating because the Lord keeps opening his hand and satisfying the desires of every living thing. Whether other people realize that or not, let us realize it, not only at Thanksgiving, but day by day, let us realize it and let us give thanks to the Almighty God. I want to jump ahead now to the time of George Washington. We're in the year 1789. If you take a look at the front of your service folder, you can see part of his Thanksgiving proclamation. Part of his proclamation said, "To recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God." That takes us all the way back to 1789. When I read that, I didn't see anything in there about eating turkey or watching football. That wasn't in that proclamation, was it? Well, isn't that what goes on today? Isn't that the typical thing in the household? Now, I like to eat turkey and watch football. Does anyone else here like to do the same? I'm sure we have some fans here in that way. But Thanksgiving, though, that's not a day to do what we want to do. That's a day to remember what God has done for us and to give him thanks. Some of the things that George Washington was saying, he said Thanksgiving Day was to be a day to publicly and prayerfully acknowledge the countless and undeserved blessings that the Almighty God has showered upon us. May God help us to do that now, do that tomorrow on our National Day of Thanksgiving, and even day by day, may he help us to do it, and may we do it in such a way that others are encouraged to realize, oh, I have life because of the Almighty God. I have clothes because of the Almighty God. I have food to eat because of the Almighty God. May these things be impressed upon all of us, and may we give him our hearty thanks. At this time, I want to go back to our readings here for a moment and just touch on just a few key verses in each of the readings. Going back, first of all, to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you. So this is what Moses is saying now to the people. They're coming to the end of their 39 and a half years of wandering in the wilderness, and he's saying that to them. So the Lord God, what did he do? He did that for the Israelites. He led them very carefully all that time. And what about our nation? Not only did he bless them, but he has blessed us from sea to shining sea. We are so blessed as a nation. Let us realize what the Lord our God has done for us, and let us give him hearty thanks. Maybe we would be more thankful if God, even for 5 minutes, would transport us from here into the midst of a war-torn country. Give us 5 minutes there, and when we got back here 5 minutes later, we probably would be breathing hard, and we would be down on our hands and knees pouring out thanksgiving to God that we are living in such a great nation. We have had it so good for so long that we are no longer appreciating the greatness and the goodness of our great God. And then Moses went on to say to them, your clothing did not wear out. This is a remarkable thing. 39 and a half years in the wilderness, and their clothing did not wear out. Well, what about us? Are we wearing our clothes for 40 years? Well, we're probably not. But what has the Lord done, though? He has given us a great abundance of all that we need. We have all the clothes, all the food, all the stuff that we need in great abundance. Let us realize what we have been given, and let us give him our hearty thanks. And then in verse 7, Moses said to them, the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. What land did he take them into? He took them into what is called the promised land. And how did the Lord help them know it would be wonderful? It is a land flowing with milk and honey. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? After you're in the wilderness for all that time, thinking about milk and honey, sounds pretty good. What about our land? Our land is also a very good land that God has given us. Let us realize that, and let us give him our hearty thanks. And then jumping ahead to verse 10, Moses said to them, when you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. We have eaten and we have been satisfied countless times in our lives, even though we are tempted to forget the Lord. What has happened with much of America? They have forgotten the Lord. Think about how it works. They are so busy with the blessings that God has given that they have forgotten who gave them. So they're not giving him thanks anymore. And here's something even worse. Not only are they not acknowledging God and giving him thanks, but now they are trusting in the blessings rather than trusting in the giver of the blessings. Very serious matters. Let us never be that way at all. Let us keep realizing what the Lord has done, what he is continuing to do, and then let us keep giving him thanks. A little bit here in Psalm 67, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Think about this situation. Here we are in the United States of America. We are one of the most blessed nations in the entire world. So it is right and proper that we would be one of the most thankful nations in the entire world. Doesn't that fit? If we're the most blessed, then we should be the most thankful. I don't think that's happening today, but may God help us to be that way. And again, let us show others the proper way to proceed. And by the grace of God, may they pick up on it, and may they become thankful too. And then with our epistle reading, 1 Timothy chapter 2, we're here in the first verse, Paul wrote to Timothy, I urge that requests and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. Think about it like this. Here we are, believers in Jesus, so what does that mean? That means that you and I, we have an open and direct line to the Almighty God right through Jesus. Many people don't have that connection. We have that connection through our Lord Jesus Christ, so what should we do? We should talk to the Almighty God on behalf of other people, and we should say thank you for everything, and we should give him requests, things that we need, things that our neighbors need, things that our nation needs, things that our world needs. We have those opportunities, so let us take advantage, and let us make sure we say thank you to the Almighty God. And then finally, going to our last reading today, we're in Luke chapter 17, verse 15 here. The Bible says, "Now one of the 10 men who was cleansed of his leprosy, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice." So think about that particular man. We had 10 people with leprosy. They couldn't even get near to anyone. And yet Jesus healed all 10. Only one came back. But what's going on there? He came back because he realized that what Jesus had done was a miracle. He realized he was healed. So he went back to thank and praise and glorify God. That was a proper response. And like Jesus said, he was a Samaritan. He would be the one you would least expect, and yet here he is coming, giving thanks. The other ones did not. What about us? Do we have an illness that we have been cured from? We actually do. We have an illness worse than leprosy. We have the incurable disease of sin. What is the problem with sin? It leads to death and hell. What is the bigger problem? There's nothing we can do to get out of it. So sin, death, and hell, we are stuck in that. That is a terminal illness, and there's nothing we can do to fix it. But what has happened, though? By the grace of God, we have been healed by grace through faith in Jesus. Therefore, let us realize what we have. We're not facing death. We are looking forward to eternal life. So we have so many great reasons to acknowledge and to thank and to praise and to glorify our great God. May God help us to do that tonight, tomorrow, and every day throughout the coming year. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, your power is awesome. And your love is amazing. Moment by moment, day by day, help us and many others to realize what you keep providing, and then move us with heartfelt gladness to keep giving you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.